The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my... Oh, damn it, I couldn't come up with something funny. Co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight? I failed.
Listen, it's just because of how awesome I am. I totally understand.
Oh, my gosh, and now you're pixelated. Yep, well, yep. Now you're. If you're not watching live, folks, we were talking about this, that, yeah, like, okay, we may have to...
Like, for me, you're a little pixelated, so it might just be...
We may have to use Zoom. Yeah, but I'm taking your image and broadcasting. It's my side. My side matters.
It does say in our chat that the recordings look and sound much better than what you see live.
Yeah, so, but the problem is...
We'll have to see.
Well, no, because what I'm doing is I'm sending my... We're not recording the video. I'm sending my video out. Like, what I see on my screen is what goes out to the people in the interwebs. That's okay. We'll talk about it offline, but we might have to stick with Zoom, unfortunately, because... At the very least, you look good, you know, or better. Better. Better is a better word. I probably shouldn't say good.
Good. Yeah. I don't think good is possible.
Yeah, we know, Levi. That's just it. Because I'm local and it's taking my local image, on Aramis's side, he's fine, but I'm pixelated. So it's obvious what they're doing. The web app that we're using is pixelating me to allow us to be able to communicate better. It's really... highlighting the audio more than the video, so I get it. It is what it is. We'll probably be using Zoom for a while. We'll figure this out though, because I like this software otherwise though, huh? God, I wish there was a way to fix that. All right. Anyway, moving on. Before we get going, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, trading card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place to go in gaming. They have an awesome website, KGS Online, that is Kerwin's Game Store, or KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. Check it out. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to take this time to recognize our rare level patrons, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Levi, George, David, Brian, and Apollo. Shout out our mythic rare patron, Jonathan. And then we want to remind you, we have really awesome producers. I mean, incredible producers. The fact that we have four, Jamie, Carrot, John, and Jake, like... We could not do this show without you people. We are so just honored to have you guys. Thank you so much for coming alongside the show. We couldn't do this without you. I mean, really, what patrons tend to get, they get two real big perks. The first big perk is obviously they get first dibs at Commander Craft, which it looks like Apollo may take that fourth slot, unless we can fill it. And then they also get first dibs on the Win a Box tournament, which we're going to be talking about tonight. So to find out more, go to patreon.com/plainstalkers. And I want to remind you guys about that Commander Craft broadcast. We do it on Wednesday nights. We play listeners like yourselves using webcams on Spell Table, four-person commander. Levi is our returning champion. He's got a pretty good deck, but at least it isn't that other piece of crap deck we saw.
You got to do the thing.
I got to do what thing?
You got to do the thing.
The thing?
Yeah, somebody said hi.
Oh, shoot. That's what I get for not paying attention.
I got to do the thing.
I didn't even notice. I was totally... Well, now I've rearranged my office, so I have...
All those monitors and you couldn't pay
because I'm looking at the one above OBS, and you're sitting over here. It's very weird. It's awkward, but we are proud to announce that You know, we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planestalkers podcast, network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. You can also download them on most podcatchers. Guys, their show is really good. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. They really go deep into the legacy. They go into more of the Eternal formats than we do. We deal in Commander here pretty regularly, but, I mean, we're still pretty much a standard podcast. Likewise, again, Commander Craft, Wednesday night, play us. It'll be fun. And finally, we're proud to announce, well, we've actually, you know, announced like it's new. We're proud to be a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts, Twitch streams, publications, articles, wonderful stuff. It's all promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great things to geek out on. They have a ton of great content. You got to check it out, geek2geekmedia.com. But we're still an untap, and tonight I actually am untapping this lovely Saranac, which is hard for me because I've been on a boat on the Saranac River, and, well, I've done things in the Saranac River. But anyway, Saranac Hoppy Hour Hero Mosaic IPA. So that's what I'm drinking tonight.
So you're recycling.
Yes, basically. But Aramis, my friend.
Got it.
How the hell are you?
I am good. I mean, we're slowly chiseling our way out of the ice and snow sleet mixture thing that we got over the weekend. I've never seen anything like this. So after it was done, I went to my wife and I was like, hey, I'm going to go outside and shovel the walk and, you know, hopefully get everything cleared, get some salt down. It's going to be great. I go out and I'm trying to shovel this stuff and the shovel's not going through. I'm like, what the hell is this stuff? So I go and I'm like, all right, I got an idea. It's kind of icy. It's kind of thick. Let me get like those edger tools that people use to like take the dirt off of walkways and stuff like on the edge. So I'm like, let me get that. That'll cut right through this crap.
Nope.
So I went. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. I went to the top step of my porch, jumped off, didn't break through. It is it's like walking on concrete. It's amazing. It was fantastic when I took my son sledding on the hill. Because you're going like 70,000 miles an hour. It's like you're the luge in Beijing. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do with this stuff.
Yeah, it's for those that don't know, we're talking the weather here. We're in upstate New York. And we had some, well, we didn't have it as bad as some, to be honest. I mean, but we had some pretty good amount of, well, we had a major ice storm like a week ago. And then this past weekend got nailed again. So I don't think we're getting anything this weekend, though, thank God. I think it's just going to be really cold.
I think it's relatively quiet for the next few days. But, I mean, this stuff is just, I've never seen anything like this. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's like 4 inches thick and it's hard as a rock.
And there are way, 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 way too many jokes on that one. I just,
I mean, the problem with me is it's only four?
All right, moving on. So
in a row?
37? No. All right. So how the heck are you? So just the weather and stuff? That's kind
of... Other than the weather, everything is great. You know, magic is great, mostly. And, you know, family's good, work is good, everything's going really well. You're right on top of that one. I see how it is. I'm feeling slighted. You insult my wife, sir, which means you insult me.
I did not insult your wife. One time I miss her cue. One time!
Do I need to remind you she's Italian?
Yeah, she's...
One time is all
it takes. You have an absolute
sickness. You insulted my family.
Great. And you're coming to the birthday party. Oh, great. Is she Sicilian? Am I going to have to, like, give her, like, a special dispensation that day? Is it like,
Do you come to me? She's not, but her sister
is. You come to me on the occasion of my wife's birthday. What accommodation can I do for you?
We're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation that's going to involve me talking, you sitting there, and if I don't like the way you're looking at me, we're going to have some problems.
Well, I hope she plays poker, because I'm looking forward to playing a little cards. I love Magic, don't get me wrong, but since I moved out here, like, I used to play poker almost monthly, if not weekly, back in Rochester. And so Wendy was like, we could play poker. And I'm like, we could play poker? Aha! great. So, and I told her, I was like, listen, Aramis thinks we should play Commander. And she gave me this look, and it was an interesting look. One of not so much exasperation, but slightly resigned. And I was like, no, we'll play Commander. I'm just going for the alcohol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my wife's her birthday is next month, so I won't say like the year.
I could translate.
Yeah,
but
don't. I wouldn't.
I'm not going to.
I would not recommend that, sir.
Because I have a very, very good streak going of not having things thrown at me.
Rotten jester. Hey, Parkman. I've killed for less. 585, born and raised, buddy. I am old, 50 and fabulous. Whoa, she drops it. Okay, then.
She outed herself.
She went to the truth bomb. So, yeah, we had a pretty quiet weekend, her and I. It was just us, no kids. You know, we hunkered down for the storm. I worked from home Friday and got out Saturday. But we kept the house kind of warm and stuff. And the plumber guy's coming this week because we still don't have water downstairs. But... you know, I rearranged my office, and I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm lit better. I feel like it's a lot better setup. I can't wait till Wednesday to see how Commander Craft looks. So
I'm looking forward to Wednesday.
So yeah, me as well. So we got a pretty good show tonight, though. We should probably get right into upkeep. So main one, we are going to talk a little bit of Standard, State of Standard. Not long. We are just going to touch on it for two reasons. One, yes, we wouldn't even be touching on it if there weren't a change made. But really, it's all going to go away next week. And then we're going to kind of do our last preview of, you know, basically our two favorite cards, because we really want to leave a lot of time to talk about the deck list, which is why I think we have so many people in Twitch tonight, is we're talking deck lists. So hopefully you guys are there. You can tell us what you think about your decks and stuff like that, because Aramis and I will tear them apart. Analyze. And, you know, we're not going to call and say who we think's going to win. We're totally going to.
Oh, absolutely terrible predictions.
Oh, yeah, awful. I don't. You know, we should keep track, you and I. It'd be like, who got, you know, who did better? Yeah.
We could, but I mean, if the banning prediction records are any indication, I'm not sure you want to keep track.
And a hearty yuck food to you too, sir. So anyway, that's gonna bring us to tonight. We do have a combat if we need it. Depends on how long main one takes. We'll see if we can I can't wait to have mine be torn apart. Look at this. What is this?
I'm not touching that.
How about the hips? Who the hell is hitting on my wife in my chat?
Well, this is becoming a trend because you didn't shut that shit down.
Oh, I shut Jake down. I shut Jake down big time 2 weeks ago. I was like, hey, wait a minute. But yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get into main phase and get this party started. So,
main phase.
All right. Main phase. So, there has been some, I guess, movement is the best way to put it. We've had movement in Standard. I have to figure it is because of the ban.
I think that opened up some things for archetypes that were sort of like being oppressed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we're seeing some really great stuff, and I'm just pulling it up now. But again, I have to hit scroll lock because Synergy keeps putting me on the machine.
I'm being repressed.
Come see the violent inheritance system. Come see the violent inheritance system. Help. I'm being repressed. That was where it was. Okay. So, all right, we have some great stuff. So, we have a new top deck.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you kind of called this.
Did I? I don't remember.
You did. You said I mean, you said eventually control's going to win out. And you're not wrong. Control's at the top and by a very, very healthy, it's 3%, but it's also the deck that everyone is talking about. Orzhov Control. So it's obviously Meat Hook Massacre is loving life. The Spider Queen is doing some stuff. But it's a lot of removal. Like just a crap ton of removal.
And reanimation.
Like this is I think this is what they intended with vampires, and they're not disappointed. This deck is really, really consistent. You know, Edgar is great, but you knew he was going to be. The Spider Queen, like I said. But yeah, Deadly Dispute, Vanishing Verse, and then Agadeem's Awakening and Amarius Call. So,
I mean, this kind of also tells you where Standard is. Half of the cost of this deck are the four copies of Meat Hook Massacre.
Yeah, yeah.
$174 for a playset, boys and girls.
Yeah. Meat Hook Massacre is ridiculous. Sell your mana crypts. But again, great card, and I need at least one. So,
yeah, one would be nice.
I might use our you know, little tidbit from the other place, and you know, on that one. So.
It is a hell of a card.
It's really good, and it would be good for Commander. So, but you know, it's definitely doing some major work in Standard. For those of you who don't know, Meat Hook Massacre is 2 black and an X. When it enters the battlefield, each creature gets -X/-X until end of turn. Sounds simple enough. It's the second half where it goes from a -X/-X to a fucking massacre worm, where. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses a life. And whenever a creature an opponent control dies, you gain a life. It just, yeah. God damn it.
it's a very versatile card. It can close games. It's a board wipe.
Yeah.
I mean, you can drop it early for a small amount or hang on to it for a huge blowout later in the game. I mean, it does a lot of work.
Yeah, 17 divided by 4 is what, so it's like a $47-$48 card.
Yeah, it's running about almost $45 a card.
Damn, that's just...
Yeah,
but it's seeing play in Legacy, too. I think it's seeing play in pretty much almost every format. Mono Green has fallen to third with Is It Dragon surprisingly hanging on. Again, you called that as well. You were like, they don't really need... It's nice to have, but...
They did not need Alrun's Epiphany. They did not need Sought. They didn't need what was the other two cards? Divide by Zero.
Yeah.
And they didn't need what was the third card that got banned? There were three. It was two blue cards.
Divide by Zero, Alrun's Epiphany were the two.
Yeah, and then there was a third one. I thought it was blue as well.
No, the third one was the land.
Oh, the Faceless Haven. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it didn't need either of those two cards because it's like, oh, okay, we're not playing Alrun's Epiphany. I guess we put in more Hullbreaker Horrors.
Yeah. And Dragon's Fire, and yeah. It's still doing expressive. It's still copying spells like crazy.
Yeah, it's fine.
And Wandering Mind. Really... Interesting. All right. I'm in. All right. So yeah, that's kind of standard. Here's the thing, though. Everything's going to change. Maybe not next week because, I mean, the official release isn't for a week from Friday. But Everything is up for changing because, we're going to kind of pivot to that next. You know, let's face it, Kamigawa Neon Dynasty is the real deal. 100%. It has incredible upside. It has incredible staying power. I'm liking a lot of what I've seen from it. Oh, that sheet's not slides.
It's definitely better than the first go around in Kamigawa. I think as far as the first,
I think it's better than anything we've seen in Standard in some time. Like I'm not going to take it all the way back. Well, you know what? I will. I might take this all the way back to Eldraine. I think this is best we've seen since Eldraine.
I mean, I guess I'm gonna wait and see what you're thinking is on that one, because I don't know if I agree.
Okay. Oh, this is set up for the Patreon. Hold on. Google Slides. There we go. Oh.
But I definitely wish that we were still doing blocks.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, like, all of these stories feel so rushed now. Because, oh my god, we're in Kamigawa, all this stuff is happening. Whew! Okay, that was great. Oh, by the way, Strixhaven, all this other stuff is happening. Okay, okay. Catch your breath. Oh, Call Time, by the way, Call Time. All this stuff happened on Call Time. Oh, wait, we're going to Zendikar next, right? Innistrad. Hey, Innistrad, what's going on over there? Can we... breathe?
Yeah, no kidding. Patreon. No, I want it to be the slides there.
Even if it's just like two sets.
Yeah,
that wasn't too bad. I mean, you know, Kaladesh and Aether Revolt. It told, you know, it let the story kind of flesh itself out a little bit, let you sort of absorb it a little more. I personally always preferred the three set blocks, but you know, I'm old man.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm a little disappointed by what we're seeing lately with a lot of that stuff too. You know, it's
I'm looking forward to new Capenna.
What's that?
I'm looking forward to new Capenna, but it's like we're only going to be there for 30 seconds.
Yeah, and that's just I think they need to do something of where if it's, you know,
especially if it's a brand new world.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, you know, I thought we got off. I would have liked to stand on Eldraine for a couple of rounds, for a couple of
turns. I would have liked to have stayed in Ikoria.
Yeah.
That seemed like a really decent, you know, nice place. Kaldheim looked really awesome, but, you know, well, can't stay there. Got to move on to Strixhaven, another new world. Oh, wait, can't stay there either because we're going back to Zendikar.
Do a raid. So this gamer girl needs to go. Oh, my wife left. Yay. All right, let's talk about her. All right, now. Yeah, so I would like to see us kind of – I'd like to see them slow it down a little bit. I don't think they're going to, unfortunately.
Like, I don't care. I don't care that they're releasing a bajillion sets a year. I would rather that if they're going to do that, that they stay on one world for more than one set.
Right.
Because you really can't – like, unless you're reading the fiction, the cards don't tell the story all that well.
Right.
I mean, they never really did to begin with, but at least with three sets, you had more of an idea of seeing the plot progress.
You're not wrong. So let's do this, though. We do have two cards, Aramis and I. You know, again, it's a little bit of a timing issue. We'll work on this for the next one. I mean, the winner box coming out right around pre-release. We tend to short shrift previews, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that again, because if you listen to a lot of Magic content right now, a lot of sites are doing previews, so I kind of like that we do something a little different, but I do know that we should probably spend a little bit more time in previews. I like what we did last week with looking at previews from the viewpoint of the mechanic. I think that gets you a lot more, like, than individual cards, looking at the mechanic and how it works. As you start to become previewed and stuff, you start to understand. We might do that again next time, but... we're going to start things off with my personal favorite card that I've seen through this. It is a rare, and it's going to probably surprise Aramis, but I think this has a lot of upside for Standard, and it's costed pretty high. But what it does as far as choice and options, I did Farewell. So it's 2 white, 4 colorless, and it's a sorcery speed. Choose one. The key here is or more. Exile all enchantments, all creatures, all enchantments, and all graveyards. That, to me, is a really good card. Now, it's 6. But by turn 6, that's kind of when you want a board wipe. And this is wiping everything but lands, really. And permanently. And planeswalkers. So, if you're playing a Super Friend deck, good effing luck. But... I mean, the ability to... And it's not destroy. We've seen Damnation and stuff like that where it's destroy these. This is Exile, which I think is key for a lot of what we're seeing in Crimson Vow with the regards to zombies and things of that nature. They really pumped white in this deck. Like, in this set. Like, huge, in my opinion. What do you think?
I mean, it's an extremely versatile card. I think with some of the other Wrath options in Standard, it may not see too much play. 6 mana is a lot, even for a board wipe as versatile as this. Going into something like Commander, yeah, this is going to find a home for sure. Yeah. This, like you said, this kills everything except for Planeswalkers and land. So you throw this into a Super Friends deck, and it's, you know, that's your one-stop shop to say, okay, well, everything is dead. Now I can take over. And, you know, again, the Exile is... pretty huge, because there's not a lot of stuff that can get things back from Exile, thankfully. I mean, that really should be, like it used to be, removed from the game. Right. So it's a lot of different things all wrapped up into one, and I am figuring that the reason that they costed it the way that it is, because they're basically figuring you're going to be choosing at least 2 or 3 of these every time. So that makes it worth the cost. I mean, I don't really see somebody paying 6 mana just to exile graveyards.
Right.
Unless there's something really fucking terrifying in there.
Exactly. And that's just it. I mean, but especially with things like Jinkataxis and Vorinclex, and I mean, you need a way to kind of handle them.
Can you imagine this thing in like in some of the older formats with something like Teferi or Vildalken Ori casting this thing at flash at instant speed? You're like, oh, you're gonna attack me for all this dead? No, everything.
What
dead.
With Teferi on your turn? I'm going to.
I'm just gonna nuke everything.
I
and there's nothing you can do.
And again, it is high cost, and usually I'm the king of, you know, I'm Timmy and I want it all for a mana. But at the end of the day, this does everything you want it to do in standard, but it also does especially in the older formats, Commander. Probably, I'd love to hear what Jake thinks about this for Legacy. It might be a little too high powered for Legacy. I think it's good for Modern. I think with Delver kind of coming back around and other things like that, like this is a pretty. I like this card a lot. So.
I feel like Wizards should have gone all in on this, though. You know, make it cost maybe like an extra white pip, so 7 mana. Put lands and planeswalkers in there too. You know, I know they don't. They really shy away from mass land destruction because it's not fun. But if it's just the one card, you know, make it say you can only choose up to 4.
Well, what you do is you, if they did that, then I would cast it. I would cast it for everything, and then Teferi's protection. Fuck all of you. Bye-bye now.
I mean, you can still do that with this. Yeah, you can. You know? But it's like, you know, it's like say, add if not lands, add planeswalkers, and then just say, choose up to 4.
Actually, what I would have liked to have seen them do was, it's 2, choose 1, but like a kicker. Like, choose 1, and you may pay an additional 1 for each other one you choose.
Yeah, that's basically multi-kicker. Yeah.
Like, if you want to exile artifact, you know, I would have loved to have seen that. But you know what? Overall, this is pretty good.
Let's
hit your favorite card, and you can tell the story about why this is your favorite card.
So my favorite card is a common, and in order to explain the card, I'm going to say the card in its Japanese. The way that it's printed in Japan, Omeowamo Shinderu. So for those of you who watched anime and know Fist of the North
Both
Star,
of you.
You know what that means. The card's called You Are Already Dead. And I love this card just for so many reasons. So if you haven't watched, I've actually never watched the anime, but I know the meme. So when he in the anime, he's like some like master martial artist, and he has this attack where he's hitting the person like a million times. He's like, da, 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 and he's hitting them like 50,000 times in like a span of like 2 seconds. But none of the blows are particularly hard. So the guy that he's fighting is like, oh, your puny attacks didn't do anything to me. And the guy just, you know, the hero of the story just goes, Omeowamo Shinderu. And the other guy goes, Nani? Which is like, what? And then he explodes. It's just this hail fire of this hail of blood and guts. It's disgusting. It's great. And it's like this classic anime trope where, like, you know, the guy with the sword slices really fast at the enemy. He doesn't think anything's wrong, and then you just see the guy sort of slide in half, not realizing he's already dead.
Like,
I just find the card really cool. It's like, it's not a particularly powerful card. It's a 1 mana black instant that destroys a creature that was dealt damage this turn, and you draw a card. I mean, it's okay. It's a decent limited trick. I don't know how much play this is going to see. I just love the fact that they went all in on the meme to the point where when this card is translated into Japanese, using Omeowamo Shinderu is actually a very crude and impolite way of saying you are already dead. So they use like the slang term instead of the proper Japanese translation, which I just love the fact that they went all in on it and really said, hey, here's a meme when we were in a Japanese, like super futuristic sci-fi anime world. We got to use as many anime tropes as we possibly can. And I think this is one of like the one of the classic ones, and I'm really glad they put it in there.
Yeah, me too. So I don't disagree. I'm very excited to see what this card, you know, does, and
you'll have to look up the meme on YouTube. You'll get
it. Totally. So I'm pretty excited for that. I think this is I'm excited for this set. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No. Yeah, they did a great job with this set, and to your point from earlier, they did increase the power level.
Right, and we can kind of talk about that during combat. And I'm fixing a shot now, guys. Those of you watching, forgive me, but I had to make changes on the fly here. So, But yeah, I definitely, we could actually, I mean, we're doing pretty okay on time. I think, you know, if you wanted to go into combat a little bit, we could talk about the power level. So sure, let's, in fact, let's do that. Let's, you know.
Combat phase.
Or wait, do we do commercial before combat?
Yeah, we can do it after.
So combat phase. My combat tonight is I want to discuss the power level. A lot of people are talking on different casts that I listen to, different content creators, about the fact that, you know, they're like, everybody so far seems to be of the same mind in regards to power level of this set. So, and in that, for after many months of, you know, less than exciting releases, let's be honest. I mean, for the past, let's say, five sets, I'm going to say, you know, Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow, what was before?
Forgotten Realms.
Forgotten Realms, Strixhaven, and Kaldheim. Like, they've been kind of lower powered, more moderate, kind of nice stuff to get, but not ultra powered. This feels, you know, like we never thought that this set would come and really impact Standard. This set feels like it is definitely going to impact and change Standard. I think it'll also have an impact outside of Standard, but at the very least, Standard is definitely going to see a hit. But the question is it too much? Okay, we've got some pretty crazy bonker stuff out there. Do we have too much power? Is this a Throne of Eldraine level? You know, so that's kind of the discussion. What do you think, Aramis?
I think it's a hard no.
Okay.
I think it's an unequivocal no. This is not on the same level as Throne of Eldraine. There's nothing in this set that screams to me, what the fuck were they thinking? You know, there's nothing in here that's an Oko. There's nothing in here that's Once Upon a Time. There's nothing in here that is Escape to the Wilds. And geez, what else was banned from Throne of Eldraine? You know, Cauldron Familiar. Fires of Invention. You know, all those just ridiculous cards that came out of that set. This is not there. There are some very good cards in here. Baseju, who endures, is probably the best card in the set.
I still think Jinkataxis.
Jinkataxis is good, but from a competitive standpoint, he should see play, but I don't think he's going to be some meta warping monstrosity that needs any sort of concern. Okay. 7 mana is a lot for blue. Granted, you know, you might see him in Izzet and they'll ramp into him with treasures.
Or green and ramp into him with Simic, so.
Could be Simic too and ramp in that way, but I think the channel mechanic on the legendary lands, I think, is the best thing that
they
did.
You're not wrong.
It's the perfect use of the legendary permanent type, especially for a land.
Right.
You have an extra copy, get some value out of it. I'm okay with that, and I think Baseju is very strong, but it's not broken.
No,
I don't think it's broken. But it'll definitely see play pretty much anywhere that sees green. But it's narrow enough, I think, that it's not going to be too much of an issue. And a lot of the other cards, I mean, I think they're just very well done. I think yes, it is definitely an uptick in power from Forgotten Realms and Innistrad.
Definitely,
both Innistrads, but it's not. It's not in the same. It's not even the same ballpark as Throne of Eldraine. I mean, or even Ikoria.
Yeah, and Parkman's right. He thinks Baseju is going to be more powerful than it appears to the current meta because of all the enchantment creatures in this set.
Well, it's going to depend on how many of those enchantment creatures also see play, too. But, I mean, you know, this does kill Meat Hook Massacre.
Yes.
You know, it would have killed Faceless Haven if it wasn't banned. But it still kills, like, Lair of the Hydra and those man lands. You know, kills non-basic lands. It kills artifacts and enchantments, which is, you know, very good. It's very, very good. Instant speed. Essentially can't be countered. Gets them a land back. And you could do it for as little as one mana. But I don't think the enchantment creatures are going to be such a dominant feature of Standard that this is something that needs, because I think Pleasant Kenobi said it best. They never ban answers.
Right.
They always ban threats. Buseju's an answer. They're gonna let the answer stick around.
You're probably not wrong. I kind of agree with you on that. I think the power level has. I mean, you can't look at this set and not think the power level's been raised a little bit. And I'm okay with it. It's to the point where, like, I'm excited to open our boxes. You know, like, I'm very excited to open a box and see what I pull on this, because I think there's going to be some worthwhile pulls in here, both for Standard and Commander. I do think it's definitely going to impact the meta. I think Orzhov control is going to hang around. Dragons definitely get some help, but I think ninjas will become a thing again for a little while. There may not be enough ninja. Ninjas might be more of a modern or more eternal format because of what's come before. You know, I don't know that ninjutsu will see a lot of play in Standard because of the fact that there's not a lot of support for it outside this set. But otherwise, I mean, the fact is, I mean, nobody's talking about the fact that there's like a ton of dragons, which are on flavor for Kamigawa. But it's obvious that dragon tribal is a thing. Wizards has thrown dragons in almost every set for the past year. You should be able to build a pretty powerful, if you wanted to build a stompy dragon deck, you now have the tools. It is definitely ramped up. I don't think it's Eldraine level. I do think we'll see some bans. I don't know what. But I think... Here's the thing. And it's not to any fault necessarily of Wizards. I think you're going to see some bans because whining and crying have resulted in bans before. And I think Wizards is going... There's going to be some whining and crying out there.
So what screams to you as a problem right now? Out of Kamigawa.
I'm not sure necessarily, to tell you the truth. I'm just looking at a lot of it. It's a lot of the flavor and a lot of the... There's a lot in here that shuts shit down. Like, that stops things from happening. And... I look at this and I go, I won't be surprised if maybe two cards get banned before rotation, before it rotates out, not before, you know, the fall. But I am not, no, this is not a bet, Dilla, shut up. No.
I mean, I like free stuff. I mean, I'm looking at the preliminary prices. I mean, you know, hashtag finance. Buseju is the chase card. It's as for a rare to be $36 in a standard set is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So that tells you that every format wants this card.
Right.
This is like smothering tithe level of gimme.
Yeah. I might actually order
Jinka Taxis is the other one. And I think that's largely because, you know, for Exian Praetor, Praetors are cool. Also, he's very powerful. Then there's Tamiyo, and I think a lot of that has to do with first Phyrexian Planeswalker.
Right.
Obviously, the prices will drop once release hits. Buseju, that's probably going to stick around because I mean it's going to depend on how many are opened. But this, there are good cards in here. I don't see anything getting banned.
Well, we could. We'll see.
Not in the near term.
I'm not saying near term. I'm saying there's going to be people are going to pissy. But yeah, that's kind of combat. So why don't we pay some bills real quick and we'll come back and talk some deck lists. Sound good?
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network.
A community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time, and we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
main phase.
Okay, maybe coming out of the really positive commercial to an explosion that says main phase. Okay, I can see why we would do combat first.
It's a positive explosion. It's positively amazing.
All right. So main phase. So this is kind of what y'all have been waiting for, man. We're going to do it now. We definitely going to talk about the Kamigawa Winnabox deck list analysis, I guess is the best way to put it. So
analysis.
Yeah, analyze. Wait, what? Oh, I miss Arrested Development being good. Because he's like, I'm an analyst and a therapist. So his license plate said ANALRAPIST.
Anal rapist.
If you've never watched Arrested Development, you got it. Because he's like, no, it's not anal rapist, it's a nail rapist. It's great stuff, man. All right, so let's do a little bit of deck analysis. Thank so, yes. So I have Vic's deck up first. All right, Vic, we're going to go through these on rounds they're playing. Now, we did have two people who couldn't play, mainly because, and I mean, my God, I reached out a lot, but they never got their deck list in. So two people went out. So we do have a couple of buys, but our first match is going to be Nurse Gamer VJ versus Muertis Favor. All right, so we have Nurse Gamer's deck up. So let me just put this on the general channel here. Oh wait, yeah. Oh wait, you guys see my Discord channel now. Wait, we're doing analysis. Kamigawa. This is so professional. I'm the best streamer ever. All right.
Best streamer. All right.
So here we go. So I've got Nurse Gamers up. It's on the screen. Let's kind of talk a little bit about it. So his commander is Kenrith, which again, five colors. Love it. What are you seeing in here, Aramis? What's he's got a couple of finales. I love finales.
Yeah, let me see. We got Finale of Devastation and a Finale of Revelation. So he likes to draw a bunch of cards, and he likes to tutor for things and make them gigantic and run over your face. Mm-hmm. I can get behind that.
He's got the old standard Crater Hoof, otherwise known as Elgar Gargaroth.
That's not
I know. Enough. And Race Forerunner is more that, but...
Yeah. I mean, it looks a little controlling.
It does to me, too. A lot of interaction as far as...
Oh, he does have a Crater Hoof in here.
Is Crater Hoof legal? It is. Yeah. Jumpstart. Yeah, that's right.
he's got a hoof.
Oh, I love Crater Hoof. Yeah, I do. I
see an Atali. I love Atali.
So it looks like he's... I mean, he doesn't have a ton of ramp, does he? Like, I see Teferi's Protection. He's got Land of War.
The thing about Arena's deck list when you transfer them over is that it doesn't break them out
right
into what they are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even alphabetize them, so you're like, oh, look at these lands. Oh wait, there's enchantments in here. Oh wait, there's a land, there's a creature in here. Oh wait, there's
like Nyx Bloom Ancient, Leyland of a So he's got Nyx Bloom.
This is kind of a rampy couple of ley lines. He says he has a way to go infinite, so I imagine it has something to do with Nyx Bloom Ancient,
because
tripling mana.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at his opponent, Muertis Favor. And he's playing Renin 7. So one doesn't have a lot of ramp. Mono one green. Has nothing but ramp.
Mono green, rippity ramp.
Mono green, rampy stompy.
Ranger class, epic proportions. Gauntlet with Savelli. What? Oh, Selvala?
Yeah.
So Valhalla of the Wild, Heart of the Wild makes a lot of mana. Gauntlets of Light.
So he's playing ramp.
I see.
And I don't see Crater Hoof. So that's interesting. He doesn't have the finisher.
Is that Muertes that doesn't have Crater Hoof?
Yeah.
Carnage Tyrant, Allosaurus Shepherd.
Which I love Carnage Tyrant. That's a card that does Seeker's not see Chariot. A lot of.
Palaka Worm, Galta, Rampaging Brontodon, Meteor Golem. Summer Song of Frailes. Yeah, no.
I hate to say it. I think Vic's got it, though. I think Vic can bring colors, and what Kenrith can do as far as giving him life back, as far as you know, making things hasty.
The problem that he'll run into is the same problem that any five-color deck runs into, and that is making sure he gets his colors on time. The one thing that helps Kenrith is that you can cast him without all five colors, right, and you don't necessarily need access to all five of his abilities. I imagine he wants to make sure he has access to red, green, and possibly either white or blue.
And Mana Screw is a real thing inside of...
Mana Screw's a real thing anywhere. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, Arena has its own issues. I don't think it's quite as cut and dry as you think, because mono green, all they got to worry about is hitting their land drops.
True.
And with Renin 7 as your commander, you're going to be hitting your land drops. So it's going to come down to if Vijay can get Kenrith out on curve, turn 4 or earlier. If he can do that and start doing all the, you know, what five color decks do, it's five color good stuff. They take all the best cards out of the five colors and just sort of smash them together and it works. If he can start generating value early enough, I think he can overrun Muertes, but I don't think it's a clear cut and dry win for him.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. All right, so let's I do like Vic though. I'm going with Vic. So all right, let's go to our returning champion. I think he plays the winner of this, if I'm not mistaken. I should pull up the brackets. But he, I think Exegol Sophisticated, he's our returning champion. He got a bye. He has, who's his commander?
Winota.
Oh, he's got asshole commander.
I think that's what he played last
time. Yeah, I think he does. I think it's the same deck.
Might be the same deck. I mean, hey, run it back.
Exactly. Let it ride. So it's doing its little Winota thing.
Ridiculous power.
It's
Winota is so good.
And why it's not banned in Historic Brawl, I still don't know. It depends on who he's facing. If he's facing Vic. Vic, did you guys face each other in the last one? I don't know if you faced him or not.
Just looking down to see through here if there's anything that's been added from the last couple of sets. Jumpstart. Midnight Hunt. So the Intrepid Adversary is in there. Yeah, might as well make your guys huge.
Yeah.
Plains Mountain Lesser's Lands. The Falcon Wrath Pit Fighter. Okay. Cave of the Frost Dragon from Forgotten Realms. Brutal Cathar. Yeah. Yeah, Brutal Cathar. Adeline. Reckless Storm. Okay. There's some stuff from the newer sets that are in here, and yeah, Winota is just, it's one of those decks that if you have to, you have, like, killing the commander isn't necessarily what you want to be doing. You want to be killing all the non-humans,
right?
You need to make sure you've got board wipes aplenty when you're playing against Winota.
Yeah. So, and I don't know how many he's got, but Muertes won't have any. So he might have, Exegol might have a really good early. I think he's got a good early bracket for what his deck does, and I'm going to pull up the tournament brackets here on the screen. Because, again, I don't have enough monitors. All right, let's see.
Who's the next matchup?
Yeah, so it's Nicol Ruvelis and Sophisticated. Oh, so it's Sophisticated and... Oh, Nicol is playing Sophisticated. Okay, yeah. So he's playing Nicol, so he doesn't have a bye. So he's playing Sithless Harvest Hand.
That could be a problem.
That's a slight problem. Interesting.
Sithis is kind of gross, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that Sithis can get going really early and just really snowball really quickly out of control. Especially if he curves out into Sithis, into, like, Heliod, it gets disgusting real fast.
Yeah. Yeah, Sithis is no joke. And
yeah, I mean, just the massive amount of card draw.
So who are you thinking? Sithis, or if you had to go Sithis or Winota?
Gun to my head, I think Sithis probably wins.
Yeah, I'm going with Sithis.
If I had to pick, I think Sithis.
Not that wins, I'm rooting against you there, Exegolt.
Not rooting against anybody. I think it's really close. It's about as close as fit to 50-50 as you can get, right. I think. So it's one of those like 51-49 type of things.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if Exegol ended up winning. But both of these decks, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a first round.
It is.
I'm really hoping this one gets recorded.
Yeah, me too. So we've got Epic Mouse versus Apple Freak. So Mark versus Apollo. And okay. at this wins if they hit their removal. Yeah. At this wins, yeah.
Sithis, yeah. Yeah, because they have all that exile nonsense. All
right, so let's take a look here at Mark's deck. He's playing Lisa, so Angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not necessarily Angels.
Oh, he's got a few.
He's got a few. I mean, it's Orzhov. Yeah. They have a lot of Angels, but he's got Elishnorn. He's got Grey Merchant. Elishnorn would be good against Winota.
Yeah, it would.
The problem is you have to get it out before you die. Halvar, Heliod, Hive of the Eye Tyrant. You got Kaya, a couple of Kayas, a few Planeswalkers, three Planeswalkers that I can see. Shieldred's in there too.
Oh, Ketra's Monument. I love that card for ramping.
Sir Conrad, Meathook Massacre, Vito. Yeah, this is Orzhov control, and just kind of like with a bit of a reanimator twist to it.
Interesting. So he's playing against Apollo, who's playing Turgid. In other words, known as I play your stuff deck.
Turgid is one of those decks where it either works really well or it falls on its face. You can beat a Turgid deck depending on how they play Turgid. If they play it as the artifact, I've won enough games sort of letting them make me do, I'll eat life if I need to.
Right.
Because you're basically paying a lot of mana to do that and not really doing anything else as my phone rings.
I was like, wait a second, what? So, yeah, you're not wrong.
It's the school.
Oh, maybe they're canceling school tomorrow. Is it supposed to snow or rain tomorrow?
I don't see why they would.
So, yeah, he's got, he has a whole ton of sack outlets and discard, it looks like. Duress. Interesting. I would have to take Apollo on this, I think. I think the one color... I mean, Ritual of Soot Rankle alone is great. Glint's Glaive is going to help you. The Priest of Forgotten Gods. It's a one-color deck. So, he's not going to deal with mana issues. He's got the best removal, I think, in the format.
The problem is if Lisa's out, Mark's stuff's not going to stay dead. It goes back to his hand.
Oh, yeah, but does it hit the graveyard first?
It hits the graveyard, but then it gets returned to his hand.
Right, but if he caused it to sack, or it doesn't, it won't, it should go to him. Right?
Maybe I have to see what the other trigger works.
Because that's an interesting trigger. That's a very interesting. Yeah, because I never thought
beginning
of
the
that.
Next end step. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, beginning of the next end step.
Yeah.
So if the commanders aren't out, Turgrid will steal the thing. But if he's trying to keep things out and Lisa's out, then yeah, he won't. That stuff won't stay dead. It'll go back to his hand. So that's going to be a timing thing. Who can keep each other's commander off the board?
Yeah.
And that's also if they play Turgrid as the creature, not the artifact.
Right. Which I think he would. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Turgrid as the artifact is can be a very quick clock.
Yeah.
And a nice means of keeping the board clear. Because people are going to eventually want to keep their stuff. So it's like, well, you're going to start paying life.
Yeah, but does he really have a finisher if he's not taking their shit? Like, looking at this, what's his finisher then? Rankle, kinda?
It might be a game of keep the board clear and then wait until the late game, play Turgrid, and just pump a bunch of mana into it.
Right. Interesting. Well.
Because that could be done, because, in the late game, you got 12, 13 mana available, you're like, well, I hope you have a lot of life total left, because you're going to be taking 9 otherwise.
That's true. All right, so Kyuka Killer versus Adam Bomb. I'm trying to find their bracket here. See what they've got.
I'm already seeing. Ooh. So Kyuka Killer is running Teferi, Hero of Dominaria.
Yeah, which when he told me that, I was like, oh, man, I never thought to try to run that as a commander. All right, then.
This is Azorius Control.
Yep, all the way.
counter and kill everything in sight, get to fairy out, get to the ultimate, and just make your
exile
opponent cry.
Your stuff. Yep.
Exile everything. This is,
I mean,
this
Azor. Azor is monstrous in this deck. He's going to have a blast with it. Brazen Borrower.
I like that he alphabetized it.
Yeah, I like his deck. Like I love this deck.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very, very good. It's. I've played against these a few times, and you have to be able to go underneath all that nonsense really quickly, because this deck can just lock things down very fast.
I'm surprised you didn't throw an Alrun in there just to get us.
Alrun's Epiphany.
Oh,
is
I
in
just
there.
Didn't see it. All right.
Yeah, it's Aaron.
Hey, what's up, nephew? My nephew's on. So. Because I'm Uncle Will. He's my nephew Will. Little Will. We'll call him L Dubs. All right. Let's go to Adam Bomb. Adam Bomb has...
Taysa Karloff.
Yes, he does. And I like her.
Sorry, tokens.
Tokens
and Death Triggers.
Death Triggers. Tons and tons of Death Triggers. Midnight Reaper, Murderous Rider. I don't know how he does against Teferi. I really don't. I love Yawgmoth.
He's playing creatures.
He's playing good creatures. But I don't know if he's going to get them out.
I'm looking to see how many Wraths.
All right, I'm going to leave this one.
How much removal we're looking at. We got Baffling End, Banishing Light,
yeah.
Cast Out.
Yeah, lots of tokens. So he's trying...
Day of Judgment, Realmcloak Giant. I mean, there's two Wraths right there. Doomscar.
I like what he's doing as far as he might have some shot as far as getting tokens out non-interactively, meaning, you know, he's got a Felidar there that's going to bring out tokens on its own. You know, he's got ways to bring tokens out that are not casting a spell to get them out. Felidar Retreat, yeah. I like it. I just, gosh, you know, you have to have a really, really fast clock to stop Teferi, because if he can get Teferi out turn 5, you got a 3 turn clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely I'm gonna go with Teferi. I'm gonna say Kyuka Killer.
Yeah, I think Teferi has the advantage here because there's at least 5 Wraths in this deck, so I mean he's gonna have enough card draw to access those when he needs them.
Yeah,
and the Death Triggers will be cute and all, but I don't think it's a blowout by any means, but I think Kyuka Killer is favored.
I mean, is he running? All right, yeah, he is running Alrun's Epiphany. Is he running Search for Scanta? Because that would have been a card he should have wanted in this deck.
This isn't really a tap out control, so
yeah, interesting.
I don't think Search. I mean, it wouldn't be bad, right. But.
Well, let's
he's got Narset.
Let's talk about anyone else's deck but Justin's. No, I'm kidding. So Justin is going to face the winner of that match. And he is playing a Meronar deck.
Rat colony deck.
Many, many, many rats. Tons of rats all the time. Nothing but rats. An interesting deck, and I think it's got a lot of potential. It's low enough to the ground to where he should be able to get something out every turn. By turn 4 or 5, go ahead and counter my first rat colony. I'll cast another. If he's playing somebody like Teferi, the board wipe situation is going to be a problem for him.
That's the thing. I've played against these decks before too, and they either overrun you or they run out of rat colonies.
Right.
That there's no in between, because they're dumping their hand pretty quickly, and a couple of consecutive Wraths kind of takes the wind out of their sails.
Yep.
He's got the Immortal Sun, which is a nice piece of tech, so if he can drop that down and
yes.
protect it somehow.
Yeah, I think if you end up playing Teferi, Justin, you want to. Yeah, I wouldn't say mulligan aggressively to Immortal Sun. But if I don't have it in my first hand, I might mulligan to 6 just to. You know,
but at the same time, you know that the Teferi deck's going to be keeping a counterspell for that very
right,
reason.
Right, right, so
especially in a best of 3, like you might be able to surprise him game 1.
Yeah.
But after that, he'd be like, I'm keeping a negate in the back pocket just for that bad boy.
Yeah, because that ends his day. Oh my gosh. It depends on who he faces. If he's facing Teferi, he's got an uphill battle. If he's facing Tedra, well, that's actually a slugfest. Like,
no, he's got some problems.
Really?
Is he playing Mumbledown?
No, he would end up playing against the winner of Tesa Karloff
I'm saying this round.
He's buying this round. He's in a buy.
Oh, he's got a buy.
Yeah.
All right. So, I was gonna
so
say,
he plays either Tesa or Teferi. If he plays Teferi, he's going to have an uphill climb. If he plays Tesa, it's a slugfest.
Yeah, it's going to be a matter of. Well, I mean, Tesa's got the Meat Hook Massacre.
He's like, I have a way to bypass certain things. Oh, we know Justin, you know, but I want to see it. Make sure you record this. I want to see these matches. Let's go on to our next bracket, Mumbledown versus Emberfire. Now, I have a hard time voting against Emberfire. I love her. She's just amazing. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. She's, you know, kid of one of my best friends. So, that being said, Mumbledown is playing Xanathar, Guild Kingpin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I get to play your stuff.
Lots and lots of your stuff. And what a deck. Like, I kind of want to make a commander deck out of that card. Like, I'm really thinking about it. It's not a commander deck I would play on CommanderCraft, because, again, play your deck sucks on spell table. But in Arena and in paper, this deck is just a piss me off deck. Like, for frack's sake, let me play my cards. And he's playing against Ember. And Ember is playing Dina Soulsteeper. Now, Dina's one of my favorite Golgari commanders. Mm-hmm. She really is. And I like her a lot. I like Ember's deck. I think they really built it rather well. A lot of basics. Not a lot.
That's not necessarily a
bad thing. I'm saying. Let's see. She's running Druid class. They're running, Again, I'm really surprised if Craterhoof is in. I forgot Craterhoof was in Historic. Like, how are you not playing Craterhoof? In a green deck, you play Craterhoof. Like, you make it work.
Well, I mean, if you're not necessarily going wide, yeah. I mean, Craterhoof doesn't do much if there's only two other creatures.
And yeah, Massacre Worm, but not Massacre Girl. Interesting. I guess they're kind of redundant.
They do different things.
Right.
I think the worm is a little more synergistic.
Yeah. I don't know. Mumbledown or Ember?
She's got an infinite combo.
Yeah. They do?
Vito and Exquisite Blood.
What do they got?
Yeah. Vito and Exquisite Blood is an infinite combo.
Oh.
Once somebody loses life, they lose all the life.
Ooh. So,
or once they gain life, they lose all the life.
And Mumbledown is playing a blue deck, so they would have. Do they have a way to counter that?
Oh, of course they do.
All right, cool. Exquisite is so mean in this deck. Ember's watching.
Yeah, it's a pretty gross card.
Yeah. Who do you go for then?
I think the Xanathar deck might have the advantage. Just from the controlling aspect of it, I think it can lock things down. But again, it's gonna, like, I hate saying this, but all of these matchups really are draw dependent.
Yeah,
it's gonna depend on who goes first. It's gonna depend on if they hit their land drops. I mean,
I think I would have liked to have seen is Hellfire
Torment to Hellfire is legal.
Yeah, it is. I'm surprised that might have been a card I would have put in this deck. I think
Torment of Hellfire is a classic black finisher.
Yeah, I probably would have threw that in this deck just as an extra side try to finish them off. I mean, you got Trespasser's Curse, which is almost as good, but yeah, Torment of Hellfire is.
Well, Trespasser's Curse, that only makes them lose a life, and you gain a life if they have a creature enter the battlefield. I think you're thinking of Torment of Scarab.
Oh yeah, I was thinking Torment of Scarab. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
Torment to Hellfire.
You know what? I can't root against MB, man. It's MB. Can't root. Can't root against Embiid. I'm going Embiid.
I understand.
I got to go Embiid. Right. I've known Embiid since they were kids. All right. Let's go to Bowfinger Fan versus our buddy Levi. So Bowfinger is playing Vadrick.
Vadrick, Astral Archmage. That deck gets ridiculous very fast.
Justin was not expecting us to root against to rule against him. One thing I forgot to mention, I have Death Touch and Medicine Vault. He's like, no, seriously. All right, Vadrick, Astral Archmage.
This deck gets gross really
fast.
Yeah,
it does. Holy shite.
I have always had a very hard time beating these decks if they are able to do anything early. Like, if they're not missing land drops, these decks are real hard
and
to beat.
Good. Alrun's Epiphany.
Especially when it costs four less. Because,
yeah. Again, thank you.
Because Vadrick is good.
Well, not just that, but it's also the Alchemy Alrun. So.
No, I'm not talking about the Alchemy part. I'm talking about just Vadrick making it cost four less.
And, well, let's see. Well, and Levi is playing Keenan. Oh, see, I love Keenan. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Keenan,
how do we
go? It's another. These are both two decks that can just fly out of the gate super early. So, again, who wins the coin flip? Who hits their land drops on time? That's really going to determine who wins these matches. I mean,
all right. Yeah, but I think we have to look at this from the standpoint of, okay. It's more than just that. I think he can recover if he misses it more. I think Keenan has a lot more. Or not Keenan. Vadrick. Yeah, I think Vadrick, because of the fact it lowers cost, Keenan does the same thing, though, doesn't it?
Keenan doubles your mana, which is basically the same thing.
All right.
So it's either double your mana or cost.
Levi, somebody had better fucking record this match.
These games should be over very quickly.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. You know what? Screw it. Levi's one of our Commander Craft people, and I think he's a patron. So, Levi, I vote Levi.
I'm gonna go Bowfinger just from history that I've seen. Yeah. I've seen the Vadrick decks be more consistent than the Kinnan decks. Kinnan decks can stumble out of the gates a little more often. I
got you. I'm going wrecked. I'm gonna get wrecked. He says. Oh, that's great. All right, let's move on to Meriwether versus my buddy Kyle. Meriwether is playing
Captain Ripley Vance.
Interesting. So, Pirates.
I don't even remember what that she does.
Dude, they've got your favorite card in there, though.
Let's see. Captain Ripley Vance, 3/2 for 2 and a red. Whenever you cast your third spell each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Captain Ripley Vance, then it deals damage equal to its power to any target. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
so this
by
is
the way,
mono red spells.
Meriwether does have Rekindling Phoenix.
Cool. I like me a Phoenix.
So a lot of red, obviously. Is Ripley Vance
this
red? Ripley
Vance is this mono red. This is burn.
Don't know. Should they have gone Ripley Vance or Torbjörn?
Ripley Vance, I think it's just because Torbjörn can't go face by itself.
Sure. So they're going mono red. Kyle's playing an interesting Rakdos. He's playing Rakdos.
Rakdos, the showstopper. So this is demons, devils, tribal.
Yep.
And basically, you know, Rakdos is going to come kill all your shit. Mine's going to be fine. I'm just going to smash your face.
Oh God, it's tough to root against mono red, but I think Kyle's due for a win. And I like this deck list. I like the synergy of this list. I mean, is he missing pieces?
I'm gonna take the pirate.
You taking the pirate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kyle's not even willing to root for himself. I'm gonna take the pirate too. Then you know, Kyle, I was gonna go with you. It's made for my opponent to win. Wow. All right.
Oh, I like the next. I like the next deck here.
HP Wizards.
No, Netrocks.
Oh. Yeah. Oh well.
I mean, I like HP Wizards. HP Wizards play Niv-Mizzet Power Room, but I love Netrocks deck.
Yeah. So HP Wizard and Netrock are both buys. They're both waiting for their opponents.
All right, so we'll talk about HP Wizard.
Okay, HP Wizard, they're playing Niv-Mizzet.
Niv-Mizzet.
Oh, you love Niv-Mizzet.
So we have Niv-Mizzet, we have Curiosity, so we've got the combo. And this is, you know, is it control? And card draw for days. And hopefully, you know,
it's enchantment on he's trying to get to the end. He's trying to get to the Niv-Mizzet.
Get the Curiosity, yep. Slap it on Niv-Mizzet, and then just machine gun down your opponent.
That's all he's looking to do.
I like it.
I do too. I mean, anybody who plays him, let's see, what bracket is he in? That's HP Wizard, right?
Yeah.
So HP Wizard is in the to be determined to be. Oh, he's waiting for the winner of Meriwether and Kyle. Oh, that's why he's where he is. Oh, he's having an easier time with either one. Interesting. The mono red could be fun for him. He's still gonna crush it. I think both those decks are overpowered or underpowered against that deck. I think Niv-Mizzet is one of the better commanders in Brawl right now. And I mean two color, not five color.
Niv-Mizzet's just so
good. And then our right now already sitting in I do believe our elite or our they're in our 1, 2, 3, 4. Netrock is already in the final four.
How did that happen?
He got a bye. Like, it was weird because he was playing K-Ross, so both him and K-Ross got a round one bye. Then they were playing each other, but K-Ross never got their list in. So,
oh, jeez. Yeah. And K-Ross.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I think it do be like that sometimes. Yeah.
So, Netrock, Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
Chandra Tribal.
Yes. I love this deck.
I love this deck. It's amazing. My favorite deck in the tournament.
Is it really? I mean, it's not going to win.
I'm not saying favorite to win, but it's my favorite deck in the tournament.
As far as flavor goes, like I would have liked to have seen somebody do a Teferi deck.
Well, Chandra Tribal is actually very strong.
Yeah. So
Chandra's kind of nuts.
Yeah, he's. I mean, Netrock's looking at. Well, you know what? I guarantee you this. Netrock is in the final four. I guarantee it.
I mean, Torbren's in this deck. I mean, Itali's in here. There's like, what, 10 Chandras?
Yeah. And they play, Netrock plays the winner of Epic Mouse and Apple Freak. So, let's see. Apple Freak and Apple Freak's playing
Turgrid.
And
Turgrid and Lisa.
Yeah.
So, Chandra starts going face.
Yeah.
If she can.
Interesting. Turgrid, he could have a problem, right?
Could have a problem with Turgrid once he starts stealing planeswalkers.
Yeah, but that's a good deck. So yeah, that's it. K-Roz and Magnus Mac. I really wish I reached out to you guys many times on Discord. Would have loved to have had you guys be able to play. Hopefully next time. But yeah, so here's the deal, guys. All right, if you're in this tournament, we really really want to encourage you guys to record if you can. Look up OBS. There are various programs out there that will record your games. Obviously, if you're playing mobile, that's a little tougher.
Right.
Try to have a computer that's, you know, a little bit. We had some people drop some last time that were like, we just couldn't use them. So, you know, but do your best you can. We'd really, really like to see these, because what will happen is this. Probably, depending on how many we get this week, next Friday, Aramis and I will probably do the call. Not, or maybe even this coming Friday if we get enough of them. But we'll get together. Usually it's a Friday night. I will pull all the videos you send, and then we will, you know, play them back to back, and we'll just give you guys, you know, feature your decks as they're being played. So we'd really, really, really like to do that. So send it to me. I'm on Dropbox at will@willbenson.net. I'm on Google Drive at wbenson@gmail.com. Should be very easy to get me either one of those. But with that, I mean, is there anything else you can think of? What deck do you think is going to win this tournament if you had to pick one?
I mean, it's always hard to bet against the champ, right?
I'm going to bet against the champ, though.
But, I mean, Netrock already being in the final four, I mean, that kind of would make a biased pick, right?
I'm going to lean towards... I think Niv-Mizzet. I really think Niv-Mizzet can pull it.
Niv-Mizzet can make a showing for sure. Yeah. Sithis can be really Sithis good too, could.
It's interesting. Nobody's playing, you know.
I am, again, very upset that no one picks Zakama.
Nobody picked Omnath.
Well, Omnath got nerfed.
Oh, did it? Yeah, it did. They're right.
Yeah, Omnath got nerfed.
I am surprised nobody played Zakama. I know Jake really wanted to play in the tournament, but he's like, can we play? But even though we're doing the show, I'm like, no. No, you can't play. You're on the network.
Yeah. Conflict of
Can interest. Aramis and I play?
Yeah, I'd love another box.
I know, right? but I guess, you know, we're sitting at about an hour and 20, so why don't we go ahead and get right into...
End step.
All right, end step. So as Aramis and I start picking up our cards, putting them back in their boxes, rolling up our play mats, and putting the pizza boxes by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this Sam Goody store. We want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel. Yeah, I went old school on that one.
That's back. I mean, that's not, that's, yeah, that's back.
That's back. That's back.
Radio Shack.
Well, but... did you want me to say Tower Records? I mean, I could have gone there.
Or say Nobody Beats the
Nobody
Wiz.
Nobody Beats the Wiz. Or Crazy Eddie, my prices are insane. All right. Yeah. That's a New York City thing. If you don't get it, that's okay.
I get it.
We have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch, and there you're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic as well as other geeky games like Minecraft, DC Universe Online, all sorts of fun stuff. You can also follow me at Twitch on Mindcrime73, and I'd love to have you.
And if you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord. That is discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. We got a great community there. I mean, a lot of us are on Twitch tonight, but... when we're not on Twitch, you know, it's a pretty active community, especially during the times of the Winnabox. But even without that, people are always willing to talk about things, especially now that we have the deck formula floating around. People are submitting their decks, and we have discussions about those. It's really been a lot of fun. So I hope to see you guys on our Discord. But if Twitter is more your speed, I'm trying to become more active on the Twitter.
You're doing a good job. You're pretty...
sometimes it's hard to come up with just random things to tweet about, but I'm doing my best. So if you want to follow us on Twitter... at PlanestalkerPod is where you'll find us.
All right. And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. I don't really tweet all that often, but I am on there occasionally. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com/Planestalker. Like and follow our page there. Don't forget, we also do a playcast on Wednesdays called Commander Craft, where we play listeners like you, Paper Commander, live. Justin, I'd love to have you. You had a Commander deck, dude, when you left Glenmont. So, tune into our channels Wednesdays around 7. This week, Kinetic, Levi, our buddy there, he's our champion. So we're still looking for one more. If you want to play, let me know in our Discord. We'd love to have you. Oh, look at this, Justin. And Justin, but hey, be honest. What are my chances of me winning? Justin, here's my thinking on this. You ready? And I'm going to be as brutally honest with you as I can be about your deck. I foresee that you have a 1 in 17 chance of winning. Aramis, thoughts?
I completely concur.
All right, good call. All right, so Wednesday night, we'd love to have you. Just go to our Discord. Let us know you want to play. Finally, you can send us... oh, wait, that's you. Tune into our channels Wednesdays around 7 to watch the show.
Trying to steal my
I know. I got skills, man.
Not good. Not good.
You know what? Let's face it. I'm the talent. You're the looks. I'm the talent.
Oof, then we're doomed. But talking about Commander Craft real quick, I got a new deck for Wednesday. I'm super looking forward to it.
Oh, God, is this the high-powered one you're doing?
Could be.
You son of a bitch. All right, I'm playing Dragons. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this person, that you know, they're going for their third win, right? Kinetic's going for win number 3.
Is this win number 3 for him?
Going for 3.
Oh, hell yeah. Then it is Dragons for me, too. Yeah, I'm bringing the heat. And then you bring Zakama for what do you call it?
Oh, it's not Zakama.
No, you bring Zakama though for if he gets to Arch Enemy.
Oh, for Nemesis.
Yeah, Nemesis.
We'll see. So there's a potential for a Nemesis game on Wednesday.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So you're not going to want to miss that. We haven't had one since we changed it to the fourth game of a deck being the Nemesis. It's the first time if it gets to that point that we'll be doing it. So tune in. You don't want to miss it. 7 o'clock Wednesday night.
That's going
to
be exciting. I'm hoping.
Finally, if you want to email
oh,
the show.
Oh, he's like full send.
Full send. He's like, bring it, bitches. Send an email to the show. tell us what decks we should be playing on Commander Craft, or if you have an idea for a deck we can play, or an idea for the show, something to talk about, or you just want to chat with me or Will. There are three email addresses you can use to get in touch with the show. The first one gets to both of us at the same time. The address for that is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. To the thunderous applause of literal tens of people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tens and tens of people. And if you'd like to email me, the address is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com. It's okay, I don't like that either.
This is why I have the soundboard. I'm just kidding. Are you there?
No, oh. I left.
Oh, you got? Yeah.
I'm out.
No, out. Aramis at PlateStalkersPodcast.com. I didn't mean to push the boo one. I was trying to hit the laughing one.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. So, but on that note, we want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. We really enjoyed playing with all of you and talking to all of you. Best of luck to everybody in the Winnebox. Thanks for sticking around. We know it's a longer show. We'll be back on Monday with a new show next week, talking probably about pre-release stuff. I'm not sure if we're getting out to one or not. But we will be back next Monday. We'll be back Wednesday with Commander Craft. So don't miss that. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show and reminding you to always keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye now. Yeah, I'm